Welcome, everyone. Today we have Paul Henderson of Canaris, a sales manager for Canaris, to do a presentation on the pressure booster systems. And it's always an honor to have him in my presence. And I've known Paul for, 20 plus years?
Something like that. I had a little more hair when we first met, John.
Yeah, me too. So, all right. Well, please take it away, Paul.
Well, thanks, guys, for logging in. I don't know how many of you are logged in on video. I'm trying to keep the pictures minimized. But yeah, my name is Paul Henderson. I'm with Canaris Corporation. Just a little bit of my history. I've been with Canaris Corporation. This June will be 37 years, so I'm a relatively short timer with this company. The truth be told, I'm actually the longest term employee here. But and John, like I said, there's the leaf blower going by right now. So forgive me, guys, for the extraneous noise that you hear. Here he comes. But anyway. Canaris Corporation is a package pumping system manufacturer. We're located just outside of Tampa, Florida. Probably the two biggest questions I'm asked all the time are, where is Riverview, Florida, which is just a little south and east of Tampa, and where did the name Canaris come from? Well, the name Canaris was a man's name. His name was Spend Canaris, which that kind of explains the double I's, but anyway, the video that you're seeing now, the beginning of the presentation, was a project that we did for a high school over in Orlando, Florida, and we're just showing off a little bit here. This is a big HVAC package, big chill water package that we built, but it does give you an idea about what our capabilities are. You know, everything that is included in this system, everything that you see, even the jib cranes were actually a part of this system. They wanted to have those integral to the package so that they could service the pumps and motors. So we're going to click on this, Canaris. There goes the leaf blower. Sorry, guys. Canaris has actually been in business in the Tampa, Florida area since 1955, primarily in the early days as a pump house, a pump company that serviced the phosphate mining industry. About 30 miles east of us are some of the largest phosphate reserves in the world, and Canaris was an industrial pump house that serviced the phosphate industry, sold pumps and parts for the phosphate mining industry. It is a family-owned business. The current ownership bought the company in 1978. And is still owned by the same family. We do offer a UL label on all of the packages that we build. You don't have to pay anything extra for that. That you get that. And if you look at UL's website, that category QCZJ is a package pumping system category. Every system that we build does get that separate UL label. All that you know about Canaris Corporation, the manufacturing, design, you know, everything is housed in the same facility that you see there, that picture. It's a lot more effective when I'm talking to people up north or in colder climates, but I like to tell people that that picture was taken in either like December or January, I can't remember which. So, but I know in California it looks a lot like that in December and January. So not as effective with you folks. But anyway, everything about Canaris is housed in this one single facility. Initially built as a 43,000 square foot manufacturing facility, most recently we have upgraded and enlarged our facility to where now we're now over 100,000 square feet. John was just here recently. He can attest to that. He took a tour of our facility not too long after we had finished the upgrade. This is a picture of our fabrication shop. We are very much a custom fabrication shop. Every system that we build is built to order, built for a specific purpose. We have built systems that were up to 16 feet wide and 70 feet long. We do have 180,000 pounds of lifting capacity. All of our pipe welders are all ASME Section 9 certified. All of our structural welders are all AWS D1.1 certified. We do have the gantry cranes for lifting and have done piping manifolds up to 36 inch. And we do all of the different piping materials, primarily stainless steel on pot, where our standard is stainless steel on potable water systems. We are also a UL 508A control panel shop right here in this facility. We build up all of the controls that you see as part of our packages. We build those up here, all of the design, all of the programming, all of the testing, you know, all of that is done right here in this same facility. Of course, all of the wiring and all of that is done to UL and NEC standards. Offering up all of the enclosure options that you could possibly need, NEMA 1 through NEMA 4X. We really believe in testing our systems. It doesn't matter how big the system is, how small, it gets hooked up to our test tanks, one of our test tanks, and is fully run tested before it leaves our facility. We actually have three test stands now. We're just showing two of them here. The one on the left is the original test stand that is one single 24,000 gallon tank that if it was a 5 gallon a minute domestic water system or a 5,000 gallon a minute chilled water package, didn't matter. We hook those up and fully run test them before they leave our facility. On the right hand side, we're showing the construction of our new test stand that's in the new part of the building. That is actually two 15,000 gallon tanks that when we upgraded the facility, we upgraded all the way around, not only in square footage, but in our capability of testing. We have 2,800 amps of power supply to test any size system that we could possibly build. All of the instrumentation that's part of our test, that is part of these test stands, is what they call NIST traceable. It has to be all of the pressure sensors, flow sensors, you know, all of the test gear has to be sent back to for periodic recalibration that's traceable to NIST. Very, very important. And we do have a flow meter that will measure up to 27,000 gallons a minute. When we upped our test stand, we also upped our painting capability. We had a 12 by 12 by 40 foot paint booth that we started out with when we initially built this place. And we quickly found that we were building systems that were too big to fit inside of that paint booth. So we upped our painting capabilities to a 16 by 24 by 70 foot long paint booth. Probably the biggest paint booth I've ever seen. But every system is primed and painted, automotive grade enamel. We have the ability to do custom colors. You get into a project for maybe a school where they want some of the system painted their specific colors. We can accommodate you on that as well. We've done projects for, like local projects here for University of Miami, University of Central Florida, where they wanted their school colors. They wanted to show off the equipment and they wanted their school colors to be part of the package. We were able to do that. Just a little bit about booster systems in general, as far as sizing and options that we offer. One of the things that you look at, that you need to look at when you're designing booster systems is, when do I decide if I need just one pump or two pumps or three pumps? What we're showing here is we're showing, you know, some of our recommendations. Don't really recommend a simplex single pump system a lot because you don't have any backup capability or any redundancy there. But duplex systems typically, the whole idea is efficiency, and you only want to be running, you only want to have to run as much pump as what you need. So this is why we suggest breaking these things up into, you know, keeping the horsepower as low as possible, the individual horsepower as low as possible, and, you know, staging on additional pumps as needed. You know, duplex systems, typically up to 300-400 gallon a minute. Triplex systems, when you're talking over 300 gallons a minute, once again, just to keep the individual pump horsepower as low as possible. You know, all of this stuff is, you know, nothing in here is etched in stone. No pun intended. This is very fluid, where you you know, have other considerations. You know, if it's an extremely high head building or so on, maybe you might even want to break it up into more than three pumps. But the whole idea is efficiency. You want to be running as little horsepower as possible to satisfy the demand. Important thing here is the statistic that we published. This is part of our published data, that the water usage studies that show that for more than 70% of the time in any application, you're typically using less than 20% of what your peak capacity is. So we're all the time we're designing based on a peak capacity, understanding that for most of the time, let's say it's a 300 gallon a minute system, for most of the time you're only going to be using 20% of that. That's why, you know, multiple pump systems, smaller horsepower, staging is very, very important. We are not locked into any one single style or even manufacturer of pump. We have go-tos that we use, but I want you to know that we can use anybody's pump, any kind of style of pump, you know, whatever's appropriate for the job. Of course, because of initial first cost and on most low boost applications, we're using the close coupled end suction pumps, but we also have access to a couple of different manufacturers on the vertical multi-stage pumps. In on the real high head application, even some vertical turbine pumps. So just, you know, we can use any style of pump. Typically, when you ask us for selection, we're looking at it as, you know, what's the best pump to most cost effectively do the duty required. System construction. Like I was saying, it's mainly stainless, or we've standardized on stainless steel piping for potable water systems, but you get into an application where it's a non-potable system, maybe some kind of process water or something like that, we still offer hot dip galvanized piping as a lower cost alternative to stainless steel in those applications. Again, under system construction, I like to just draw attention to this particular slide, because on both of the systems that you see, those are both close coupled end suction pumps. On the left hand side, it's a triplex system. The pumps are mounted in a horizontal configuration. On the right hand slide, it's close coupled end suction pumps that are mounted in a vertical configuration. And the reason that we offer that particular package is it makes for a very narrow pump package. Very good for like a retrofit application if you're trying to flip a booster system through a mechanical room door, or you have a limited floor space. I know mechanical room space is never an issue. You know, you guys are typically always given football fields of additional mechanical room space, and probably giving mechanical room space back at the end of the project that you didn't use. But in the rare occasion where mechanical room space is an issue, space saver, what we call the space saver type system to the right, might be something to look at. Once again, same close coupled end suction pumps, just mounted in a vertical configuration. Hydropneumatic tanks. I know there's a lot of controversy around today amongst the pump system manufacturers about whether or not you need a hydro tank to go along with your system. We are going to always recommend a hydropneumatic tank for storage and maximizing pump system off time if it's an intermittent duty type system. By that I mean if it's intended that it would run and maintain pressure and have the opportunity to shut down. Once that pump system shuts down, we are going to recommend a hydropneumatic tank with that system to maintain pressure on the building and maximize the off time of the system. There are certain applications, maybe like a hospital or industrial application, where it's like a 24/7 type process. But the pump system is probably never ever going to shut down. In applications like that, you don't really need a tank. If the system's not going to be allowed to shut down, it won't have an opportunity. The building will never have an opportunity to draw out of that tank. So those would be applications where there would be no need for a hydro tank. I'm not saying that our systems have to have a tank to operate properly, but it's just recommended on systems that where the duty is an intermittent duty. Variable speed versus constant speed. 20 years ago, 80% of the systems that I built were constant speed systems. Probably 20% of them were variable speed systems. Today, it's probably 90% of the systems that I build are variable speed systems, and maybe 10% are constant speed. It's completely flip-flop. Everybody's looking to pick up as much efficiency as they possibly can. I know that there was the ASHRAE 90.1 initiative where made it not illegal, but verboten to regulate pressure going into a building with a mechanical device, really promoting the whole idea of variable speed on domestic water booster systems. I'm all with that. I just want people to know that I still have a constant speed product offering. Whenever there's a need for something very low end, very low cost to fill a need for maintaining pressure in a building, I still offer up both variable speed and constant speed systems. And just the differences between the two. A variable speed system gonna work real well in a lot of applications where there's some variation in the suction pressure. It does act as a nice soft start, the VFDs do, limiting the or reducing the inrush current when the pump starts. Everybody's looking for lead points. There you go, you got built-in lead points with VFDs. Constant speed systems, of course, the advantage there, simple controls, lower first cost. But between the two of them, you're trading the complexity, the additional complexity of having PLC controls on the variable speed system for pressure regulating valves on a constant speed system that you have to maintain. So that's the trade-off. But if you can see, just using the affinity laws, doing a quick calculation, if you can see at least maybe a 10%, a consistent 10% reduction in speed, that does equate to a 27% horsepower reduction. So those are real numbers. So if you walk down in your basement and you see your pump system running at 90%, you know that there's some real savings to be had there. Any questions on any of that?
Not yet.
Okay. Like I was talking about, the one thing that we are seeing, though, is that ASHRAE 90.1. The mandate out there is that domestic water booster systems are going to have VFDs, period. No using a regulating valve to regulate pressure going into a building. Once again, I still have a constant speed product offering that I do offer just for that low-end installation, you know, looking for something quick, down and dirty to satisfy the needs of a building. The major difference in the two being on the control side, the control panel, this is a UL panel, example of a UL panel that we built for a constant speed system. You can see, I like to just draw attention to the fact that very simple timer, relays, starters, fuses. We pretty much design these panels around what's available at a Granger store. All of these timers, relays, alternating relays, fuses, all of this readily available at a standard supply house. So there's value in that. Also, one of the things that you'll notice about every Canaris control panel, the wiring diagram that's stuck to the inside of the door. You'll see this one, there's one rolled up in the bottom of the control panel. We typically send it out with that one too, but it'll always have a wiring diagram, not just stuck in a folder inside the door, or, you know, it's permanently attached to the inside of the door. That way, in 5 years, when somebody needs to troubleshoot the control panel, the wiring diagram will be right there ready for them to help them do that. Next slide. This is an example of a standard variable speed control panel. And you can see here, same idea, wiring diagram stuck to the inside of the door. That's just the way we do it. But this has the PLC inside the control panel, and the front end that sticks through the door that you can actually watch what the system is doing. One of the things too that I would like to bring up here is everything that even that you see in this picture is all off-the-shelf gear. Canaris does not offer up any kind of proprietary, private-labeled gear for our equipment. There's no such thing as a Canaris Corporation controller. The picture that you see here, these are Siemens. It's a Siemens PLC. That's pretty much our standard on domestic water booster systems. Does have a little bit of communication capability if you're looking to communicate with a building management system, but for the most part, it's just a very, very simple PLC. We're seeing more and more about the lead content, low lead, NSF, those kinds of things. January of 2014, it was mandated that, you know, anything that was put into a building that was intended for use for potable water had to have a some kind of labeling, labeling it low lead, no lead, less than 0.25%, and so on. You know, everything that we use on our booster systems, pumps, valves, piping, everything is in full compliance with the requirements of the Low Lead Safe Drinking Water Act of 2014. Now, there is also an additional level of compliance that we offer that is a NSF 61 certified system. And we do have our NSF 61 certification. That's like an additional level of requirements where absolutely everything has to be NSF 61 certified, the pumps, the valves, the material, not just in compliance, not just low lead or no lead, but everything has to be certified NSF. We do have an NSF 61 certified product offering. IATMO is our certifying body. We do offer those systems as well. I just showed this slide here. When the change was made, or or after January of 2014, I ended up with a lot of inventory that was not in compliance, and I had to shove this over to the side only to be used on non-potable water systems. I probably still have some of this stuff in stock to this day. But all of the material that you see here is standard material before 2014, not usable in potable water systems after 2014. Just in case you don't have enough mechanical room space and you need to put in a little system of some kind, we do offer enclosures for all of our systems too, if that would be the case, if you need to set it outside. Full metal enclosures, fiberglass tilt-up enclosures, depending on the size of the system. You know, we can provide everything integral to the enclosure, anything from air conditioning to heat, light, heater, fan, a PE stamp for seismic and wind and snow loading. All of that stuff is available for any package that we build. We can offer up enclosures for all of these systems. Boy, John, we got to the end of this pretty quick. www.canaris.com, you'll find all of this information and much, much more out there. All of our standard specifications, CAD drawing, design information, all of our recommendations are available out there on our website. Encourage you to go out there and check it out. Have any problems or any questions, of course, you can reach out to John or myself. Be more than happy to help you with any projects that you may have.
What's our standard lead time these days?
Excuse me?
What's our standard lead time these days?
Well, variable speed systems are still running in the 8, maybe 9 week range, something like that. Constant speed systems, in the 6 to 8 week range. Our shop is very, very busy still right now. We are considered an essential business. I probably should have mentioned that at the very beginning. Because we do supply pump packages for healthcare, energy projects, and so on, so we have been allowed to remain open. We are still open, doing everything that we can do to keep our employees safe, providing masks for them. We've got 10 sanitizer stations every 10 feet, I think. And fortunately, no one has come down with it here, and we've just encouraged our people to stay away from each other and stay safe.
One thing, having worked with Canaris all these years, is they have learned early on how to ship these skid packages across the country with minimal amount of damage or no damage at all. They're very robust. So they don't fall apart when they have the trucking bumping and driving as it comes across the country.
Appreciate you mentioning that, John, because I do put a lot into the shipment of our systems. We actually, on the smaller systems, we build a full wooden crate around them to ship them. It doesn't matter if it's going down the street or all the way to Oakland. We build a wooden crate around it to try and protect it from any freight damage.
One other thing is that when Paul talked about the test equipment, they're just not leak testing. They're actually running the system per the engineer's specifications. So what the building would experience, they actually do test it to the building's specifications. So it doesn't leave the building. It's already pre-programmed. So it's really a plug and play when it gets to the job site.
That is correct. We really, really believe in and put a lot into the testing of the systems. We fully flow test it. It goes through a hydrostatic test to start with, just to confirm that there are no leaks. And secondarily, it goes through a full flow test to make sure that all of the sequencing, alternation, timing functions, that all of those are operating properly.
It doesn't mean that on startup something doesn't go wrong, but it All right. So unless I don't have any questions from everybody else, I'm going to unmute people if they have any questions here. Let's see. Sean, you must have a question or two.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. It always comes up after I've designed it, so.
it's hard doing this. I like looking at your faces and.
Yeah.
Actually, I can see.
I'm going to end recording right here, so I'm just going to.
Yeah. Okay.